your notes tonight. My goodness, revive us again. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? Your water baptism was a open testimony of joining our Lord in his death, burial, and resurrection. Your water baptism should have spoken that. And if it didn't, then maybe you need to think about getting water baptized again and saying, I want my water baptism not to be a symbol of me joining the church, of me becoming a part of the Christian's clique. I want my water baptism to be an identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of the anointed Redeemer, so that when I go beneath the water and come up, the witnesses of God in the heavens, the demons, wicked spirits in the heavenly realm, and all of those who watch see me saying, I believe, embrace, and now join in the death, burial, and resurrection of the anointed Redeemer. My baptism means something. It's a testimony of the triumph that was accomplished. Amen. In raising our Lord from the dead. But I want you to think of it on another aspect tonight. We were sealed with his death in our union of identification at baptism. I was sealed into his death. I became a part of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism unto death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. I had someone ask me, said, Pastor, does it matter if you were sprinkled or you were immersed? And I said, well, does this testify of resurrection? Or does being put beneath the water and brought up testify of resurrection? And when people say to you, well, it's the water that does it. No. It's the act of identification that does it. Yes. You can't sprinkle someone and testify of the resurrection of the Lord, but you can when you go beneath the water, trusting a minister of the gospel to lift you out of that water, join him in the testimony of triumph over death, hell, and the grave. My water baptism, your water baptism, is a testimony of you joining into the triumph over death, hell, and the grave and saying, the grave couldn't hold us. Death couldn't hold us. All the sin in the world couldn't hold us. All the sickness and disease in the world couldn't hold us. Amen. We joined him in death, in burial, but also in resurrection triumph over all the powers of the evil one and of darkness. We have newness of superhuman life. Water baptism speaks of that, and your testimony of being one with his resurrection says, I have superhuman life living in me now. Life that conquered death, hell, and the grave lives in me. John 10:10, I am come to open to you the abundant life of God, and that you may have it in limitless overflow. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly, highlight certainly, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. What does it mean to be united in the likeness of his resurrection? It means that today, Brian Rivers can say, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in me, it will make my formerly mortal body just as supernaturally infused as was the body of our Lord and Redeemer. His resurrection life is our resurrection life, since we are joint heirs of his fullness, seated with him in power. Pastor, it sounds like you're talking to us about a radical change in the way we see ourselves. You can't walk in revival power until you see yourself in the power of revival. Yeah. One more time. You can't walk in revival power until you see you in the power of revival. John 4:17, as he is now seated at the Father's right hand, so are we in the world. Sitting on this chair right now, Damon O'Brien is seated at the right hand of God positionally with the Father, so that that resurrection life is fully available to him to draw on, or he can just go to church and sing songs. 1 John 2:6, the one who says he abides in him ought also himself to walk in the same manner as he also walks. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Is this saying that my precious sister sitting here in flesh and blood today has permission from God to walk in the same resurrection power as the Yeshua HaMashiach did? Yes. Do you realize the power he walked in after his resurrection? He walked through walls. He ascended into the clouds. He said, touch me. I am flesh and blood, but I am multidimensional. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Walk his walk, talk his talk, do his deeds is available to you, and that's true revival. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be. It is not the power to witness to people. It is the power to be a witness. Pastor, what's the difference in witnessing and being a witness? Being a witness, you heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out the devil. Now you're a witness of resurrection power. Witnessing says it's possible. I believe it happened. He didn't say, you will become people who witness about my resurrection. He said, you will be my witnesses. Be a witness, not give a witness. Demonstrate the resurrection life and power of God. John 14:12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than the ones I've been doing under the law will you do under grace. Why? Because I go to the Father, and when I go to the Father, I open a window of access for you to be seated with me. Yes. He blazed the trail so we can follow. Can we embrace this text in the light of Philippians 4:13? I can do all things, the works he did and more, through the anointing which was made possible by his resurrection, that revival power that revives my death-doomed flesh into supernatural manifestations. I can do all things through the anointing which infuses me as a joint heir of his resurrection power with divine ability. I was crucified with him. I was buried with him. I was resurrected with him. I am now seated with him. So positionally, I am in a place of earth dominion. Can you say that? I am in a place of earth dominion. Say it again.
I'm in a place of earth dominion.
Oh, come on, church. Your salvation wasn't membership in the church club. Your salvation wasn't a free pass out of hell. Your salvation wasn't even a pass someday, Patsy, into heaven. It was an everyday access pass to the throne of God, so that you could walk in miracles and signs and wonders, and Jerry, you could do the works he did on a daily basis. But the devil has confused the church and said, Jerry, if you'll pray for it, it could happen. He didn't say, if you'll pray for it, it could happen. He said, you'll do the works I did and greater. Amen. Amen. Therefore, Jesus answered, and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son does also in like manner. If you as a believer see anything God did in the Word, you as a child of God can do it. Can you in the Word see healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out the devil, opening blind eyes, causing the lame to walk, the maimed to be restored? Then, as a son of God, they that are born and led of the Spirit are sons of God. For years, I had a problem with this verse because I saw it as a sad thing that the disciples went about preaching and teaching how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good. And I said, that 10:38 of Acts is a bad scripture, because they weren't supposed to go about testifying what Jesus did. They were supposed to go about doing what Jesus did. But today the Lord took me back to that verse and said, if you'll see that in the light of Philippians 4:13, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He said, is God with you? Yes. Can you do all things through the anointing? Yes. Did he do all of those things through the anointing? Yes. Well, since he did all of those things through the anointing, then Phoebe can do all of those things through the same anointing. Ethel can do all of those things through the same anointing. Richard can do all of those things through the same anointing. And he said, the verse that you've seen as a bad testament, if that's all that's preached, history tells us he did this, then it's a bad scripture. But if you take that and make that your own, well, if he did it, I can do it. Because if he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, then if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in me, he can do it through me. If I'm a joint heir with all he received in his resurrection triumph, then I have access to the family power account, and I can write checks on that when I encounter someone who needs a miracle, a sign, or a wonder. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Therefore, it's available to you as a born-again child of God. So Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. As the Father taught you, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the devil. That's his word to you. As the Father taught you, you can do all things through the anointing that infuses you with divine ability. As the anointing taught you, hands you shall lay and well they shall be. Then you can do that. Well, Pastor, when revival comes, I believe it could happen. No, no. When you believe it could happen, you'll bring revival. Doing his deeds, speaking his word, being his hands extended brings real revival. Doing the works that he did is your job description. It's something he's called you to. Now then, perhaps one of the great passages of Scripture for every new covenant believer is Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. Why is that? Because that verse says, we have a better covenant with better promises than they did. I want to give you a scripture that as you begin to pray for the fire of revival to fall, I want this scripture to become a part of your prayer life. It's Exodus chapter 34, verse 10. And as of today, this has become my new battle cry for the body of Christ. Then God said, behold, I'm going to make a covenant. And Father, I enter into that covenant with you. Before all of your people, I will perform miracles which have not been produced in all the earth, nor among any of the nations. And all the people among whom you live will see the working of the Lord, for it is a fearful thing that I am going to perform with you. That's Exodus chapter 34, verse 10. Well, Pastor, I don't have that verse in my notes. No, because I'm hoping you'll go to your Bible and read it and highlight it and make it a part. But, Pastor, that's Old Covenant. That's Exodus. The children of Israel are coming out of bondage, and the church is about to come out of bondage to the world system. And if we have a better covenant with better promises, then we can expect even greater miracles, greater signs, and greater wonders than the not body of Christ, under the law, not saved and not filled with the Holy Spirit. If they could expect miracles that the nations had never seen, what can we expect with a better covenant, better promises, born again and filled with the Holy Spirit? Matthew 15:31. So the crowd marveled as they saw the mute speaking, the cripple restored, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. And that was accomplished under the law. And we have a better covenant with better promises. So more blind should be seeing, more lame should be walking, more cripples should be restored, more mutes should be speaking. Matthew 8:17. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. Himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. That is the old covenant being spoken by our Lord in the new covenant. But that verse isn't quite as powerful as after the resurrection, 1 Peter 2:24. And himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. He didn't just pay the price, says Matthew 8:17, for my healing. He paid the price for my wholeness, spirit, mind, and body. I have a better covenant with better promises than Isaiah, than Matthew. I have a promise to be whole, not just have him pay the price for my healing. Acts 17:6. I want every one of you to begin praying, I want to be this one. When they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some brethren before the city authorities, shouting, these men who have upset the world have come here also. Robert, do you want it said of you, I'm one of those who upsets the world?
Yes. Yes.
I want us to become world upsetters. We may have to have Asia design a new T-shirt. I'm a world upsetter. I am a world upsetter. And when people ask you, you say, Acts 17:6. They were so ticked at Paul. They were so ticked at the new church disciples that they said of them, these men who have upset the world have come among us. Are you ready to be one who upsets the world's status quo, the way it's doing business? Would you be willing to wear a T-shirt and do what the T-shirt says? I'm a world upsetter. I've been called of God to upset the world. Now, I know you came to church tonight and you only have 2 pages of notes, but church, these 2 pages are world-changing, not just life-changing. I want to see house of the Lord actually manifests itself as the revival center of the revival center of the nation. I want to see miracles and signs and wonders flowing here. And it begins with who will pray the price, who will spend the time on their face saying, Lord, send a revival, let it begin in me. Lord, I want to see the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dumb speak. Lord, I want to go to your house and see your works fulfilled and performed, not just described and talked about. Are you hungry for the anointing that destroys the yoke? Regardless of what that yoke is, are you hungry to walk in an anointing that people stop you on the street and say, Phoebe, what's different about you? Or just, hey, you, what's different about you? Because they don't know your name. But those who even know your name, they'll say, Jerry, something's going on. Tell me what's different about you. Yes. When you walked in the room, something changed. Mm-hmm. Rosie, to walk in anointing that when you walk in the room, the atmosphere of the room changes. I'm telling you, it's available to every one of us. Yes. Mary, it's available to you if you'll begin to pray the price. Pray the price. The price of revival is prayer. Revival rides on the wings of prayer. One more time, church. Revival rides on the wings of prayer. R.W. Shambach used to say that, and I stole it from him. Revival rides on the wings of prayer. You can pray revival in the house of the Lord. You can pray revival into the city of Austin. You can begin to pray where you can't wait to get here early and walk these aisles and lay hands on these seats and call miracles and signs and wonders alive so that people will walk in the door and they will fall on the floor. Gail, for years God has promised us things. It's time, James, for us to say, now is the season for those things. People will walk in the door. They will fall on the floor because they'll walk into the anointing. A couple of years ago, we were here on a Sunday morning and we were singing, sing hallelujah to the Lord. And as we were singing it, someone walked into the building and they had a sciatic nerve that had been pinched for years in their back, and they were healed between walking through that door and walking over to a seat. They said, I don't know what happened, but I walked in there and the pain left my back, and I had been in pain for years and I was healed. I walked into something. I want to see that knot. Well, let me tell you what happened 2 years ago. I want to have it, Rob, where? Let me tell you what happened Sunday. Let me tell you what happened Wednesday. Let me tell you what happens every time we come together. Because there's a people on their face before God praying, Lord, send a revival. Let it begin in me. Let it begin in the house of the Lord. Let it begin in Austin, but let it stretch to the ends of the earth. Every great revival began somewhere where people were praying. I watched the other night. Do you know when the first automobile was made? The very first motor-driven automobile. Do you know when and where it was made? Before Peugeot built the first diesel-powered car. Before Benz made the first gasoline-driven car in the 1700s. Now, wait a minute. In the 1700s, a man in America said, I've got a flat-bottom boat, and I've got a set of wagon wheels, and I've got a steam engine. I think if I put the steam engine in the flat-bottom boat, and I put the flat-bottom boat on wagon wheels and fixed a way to steer it, that steam engine would power that boat. And for years, he drove that boat around our nation in the 1700s. Before, in the 1880s, Benz produced an internal combustion engine. Before, Peugeot produced a diesel-powered engine. Before, people in the United States were putting gasoline-powered engines into automobiles. Henry Ford didn't invent the motor, nor the car. He didn't even invent the assembly line, which some people say, well, he invented the assembly line. No, no, no. Olds invented the assembly line. Well, what did Ford do? He mechanized the assembly line that Olds had invented. But there were cars produced from the 1880s long before Henry Ford started producing cars. But he is known for inventing the automobile because all people know is a part of the truth. Okay, some of you got it. The church is not walking in the authority of New Testament anointing because we have a part of the truth. But the first automobile made was a steam-powered flat-bottom boat that for years drove around America because the guy thought, if I can take what locomotives are doing on tracks and put it on wheels. And so he built a steam-powered car. The only thing was, if he wanted to go to town, he had to go out 30 minutes before he wanted to go to town and start a fire to build the steam so he could go to town. But for years, he drove around in his boat on wheels with a steam engine and had the first automobile in America. The first automobile in the world was a steam-powered boat on wheels. I want you to be able to say, I remember when the first great revival of this new move of God broke out. And I was there praying, Lord, oh Lord, send a revival. Lord, oh Lord, start it in me. Well, Pastor, are we going to start tonight with miracles, signs, and wonders? I don't have that leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm striking a match tonight. You're going to build a fire, and we're going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it won't be known for Pastor Jim because every minister of this body will begin to lay hands on the sick, and miracles and signs and wonders will occur. And you won't have to say to people, be to church on Wednesday night and pastor will pray for you. No, right now, I'm ready to lay hands on you. Are you ready to be free? Right now, I'm ready to lay hands on you because I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me with divine ability. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am one with the resurrection life. I am seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And nothing shall be impossible for me because I believe. Are you ready to be whole? Are you ready to be free? Then we can get this done right now. I want to pastor a church of people who are turning the world upside down. I want to pastor a congregation of people who are turning the world upside down. And I want your car to be like all these buttercrust bakery trucks. Follow me to HEB. Well, people are going to start following your car. You see that guy going by there in the yellow car? He laid hands on somebody, and they started walking. You see that person driving over there in that brown car? They laid hands on somebody, and their blind eyes began to see. People start following you to see where you got what you got. And you'll lead them to your Father, to your Lord, to the one you become one with. The Yeshua HaMashiach of God, the anointed Redeemer that heals the sick, raises the dead, and casts out the devil. If somebody, why not? If somewhere, if sometime, I challenge you, church, become alive in the Holy Spirit and began to anticipate the manifest presence of God wherever you go, and especially when we go together. Amen. Father, I have delivered your word to your people, and I speak miracles and signs and wonders into the hearts, the minds, the dreams, the wishes, the aspirations of this people. I pastor the most powerful people, walking in the authority of the new covenant that the world has ever seen. Our people heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the devil. They are a force of your power, and lives are changed because of their coming. And the people said, Amen. You are loved, you are blessed. Press in, walk in.